Sermon, An Appeal for Unity, Loma Linda, California, April 16, 1912. After reading the sixth chapter of Matthew, Sister White said, "You may ask, why does Sister White read all this?" I answer, because there are lessons here that we have not yet learned. God wants us to recognize every gift we receive as coming from Him. When we do this, and gratitude for the goodness of God fills our hearts, a heavenly atmosphere will surround the soul. My brethren and sisters, shall we not strive to order our lives by the truth of God as it is found in His Word? We need to be more diligent in the study of the Scriptures. They must be to us not a make-believe story, but the truth of the living God, the foundation of our faith, the assurance on which we build our hope of eternal life in the kingdom of heaven. I wish to bring before you this morning some things that have been presented to me, showing wherein some of us are making serious mistakes. The minds of many are occupied with the consideration of worldly matters, often to the exclusion of the religion of God's Word. The thoughts are more often upon the matter of eating and drinking and dressing than upon the great and important duty of serving God with humility and prayer. The Lord has shown me that in many families, decided changes must be brought about. They need to know what they must do to be saved. If they will inquire diligently the way of life, God will impart to them an understanding of His Word and teach them to value at their true worth the things of eternity. Then the heart will no longer reach out covetously for worldly benefits and the pleasures of this life. Shall we not give diligent heed to the lessons that I have read? There is an individual work for us to do in union with Christ. We are to put on Christ, put on His qualities of character, to represent Him in all our words and actions. When we are willing thus to follow on to know the Lord, walking in humility before Him and being taught of Him daily, the Holy Spirit will work through us, giving us power to represent to the world a better way. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Matthew 6, verse 25. While you do your best, weary not your body and mind with the cares of this life. Do not spoil your religious experience by worry, but trust the Lord to work for you and to do for you what you cannot do for yourself. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Luke 12, verse 23. There is much needless worrying, much trouble of mind over things that cannot be helped. The Lord would have His children put their trust fully in Him. Our Lord is a just and righteous God. His children should acknowledge His goodness and His justice in the large and small things of life. Those who cherish the spirit of worry and complaint are refusing to recognize His guiding hand. Needless anxiety is a foolish thing, and it hinders us from standing in a true position before God. When the Holy Spirit comes into the soul, there will be no desire to complain and murmur because we do not have everything we want. Rather, we will thank God from a full heart for the blessings that we have. There is great need of more thankfulness among our workers today, and until they have this spirit, they will be unprepared for a place in the kingdom of heaven. There is a mighty work to be done for every one of us. We comprehend but little of what God desires to work out through us. We should seek to realize the breadth of His plans and profit by every lesson that He tries to teach us. A great deal of mischief is wrought in the imaginations of our hearts and minds when we seek to carry our own way contrary to the law of kindness. Here is where many fail. We do not cultivate a disposition to kindness. We want everything to come in an easy way to ourselves. But the question of greatest importance to each one of us should be not how we can carry our own plans against the plans of others, but how we can have the power to live for Christ every day. Christ came to earth and gave his life that we might have eternal salvation. He wants to encircle each of us with the atmosphere of heaven, that we may give to the world an example that will honor the religion of Christ.
There is one blessing all may have who seek for it in the right way. It is the Holy Spirit of God, and this is a blessing that brings all others in its train. If we will come to God as little children, asking for his grace and power and salvation, not for our own uplifting, but that we may bring blessing to those around us, our petitions will not be denied. Then let us study the Word of God, that we may know how to take hold of his promises and claim them as our own. Then we shall be happy. The enemy will be unable to destroy our peace. As we come into right relation to God, we shall see of his salvation. In our schools, we do not see the mighty working of the Holy Spirit as we ought. Although we have worked hard that they might be conducted on right lines and advance in the fear of God, we do not see that willingness to be guided by the Spirit of God that opens the way for its working in the fullness of its power. God desires that his rich blessing shall rest upon teachers and students. When they have the experience of being daily converted to God, the perverse disposition will be overcome. There will be no place for it. The converting power of God will come in to lead the students to act for Christ, to serve and glorify him who by his infinite sacrifice has made it possible for them to be saved. We need to appreciate more than we do the wonderful condescension of Christ, that we may work out in our lives his gracious character. The Lord has a very special work to do for all who shall become citizens of his kingdom. Here are many young people associating together day after day in labor and in study, and in all things their conduct should reveal that they are controlled by the Spirit of God. They are to receive an education that will result in full consecration to God. And their own conversion is not the end of this education. They are to learn how to win others to the truth. This they will best accomplish by a life that reveals the transforming power of truth. Christ is to be formed within, the hope of glory. To those having families, I will say, there is a work to be done for your children in your homes. Speak kindly to them. They are the Lord's property, his heritage. You have no right to create unhappiness in their lives. In the home, it is the privilege of these children to prepare for the heavenly mansions. By no better way than by their own example, can parents help the youth to gain this preparation. They are to learn by example as well as by precept that there must be no coarseness, no unkindness where angels of God dwell. In this life, we are to be controlled by the Spirit that rules in the heavenly courts. Righteousness and truth are to go before us, and the glory of the Lord will be the rearward of all who serve him acceptably. They obtain Christ's righteousness. We want our children to be saved, but we must save them in God's appointed way. They must be made to understand that they have something to do if they would win heaven. When I see so many of our children who are receiving no preparation to meet temptation, I feel that I cannot do enough in the line of helping to provide places where they can receive an education in the things of God. But unless, when we gather the youth into such places as this, we give them the education that will fit them to be overcomers, we had better not gather them into our institutions. Do we want these children and youth to enter the courts of heaven and enjoy the blessings of eternal life? Then let us work to this end understandingly, and we shall see blessed results for our labors. Great is our need of the saving grace of Christ. Everywhere we turn, we see more or less clearly revealed the spirit of strife for place and position, a reaching out for honor and recognition. My brethren and sisters, if you desire honor, seek it in the right way. How shall you seek it, do you ask? In obedience to the word of truth. Our ambition in this life should be to honor Christ at every step. The hasty temper, the cruel speech, the unkind thought are not to be indulged. It is not for us to exalt this one and condemn that one. In right words, words that bless and encourage, we are to reveal the fruits of righteousness. Have you determined to be rich? Then let these words recorded in the 6th chapter of Matthew impress your heart and direct your life. They will teach you to be content and to yield your will to the control of the Holy Spirit. You will not then be elbowing your fellow worker that you may make room for your plans. But your greatest desire will be to work in just the place that God has assigned you and where He can look upon you with approval.
Shall we not come into right relation to God? Shall we not put away all strife, which is a manifestation of unconverted self? When you feel sore because you think that somebody else is getting ahead of you, take the matter to the Father in prayer. Ask Him to put the impress of His Spirit upon your mind and character. When you feel like complaining at your lot, look about for some soul who does not have all the blessings that you enjoy. Speak to him words of hope and comfort and encouragement. Such ministry will be a blessing to him and a greater blessing to yourself. We need to reach the place where, as a people, we shall reveal in word and work that the Spirit of God is dwelling within, that we are overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. It is our privilege to make the battle of life easier for those with whom we associate. Shall we not endeavor to do this? If we will partake of Christ's labors for the uplifting and redemption of souls, we shall hear His words of benediction. Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Matthew 25, verse 23. Pure and undefiled religion. This is our great need. When the religion of Christ is permitted to hold sway in our lives, there will be advance moves made that will reveal to all in this place the working of divine power. Our lives will be unselfish, thoughtful lives, as we unitedly follow heavenward the path of self-denial and cross-bearing. There is a great work for our people to do in this place. You have great advantages here, advantages that have cost much labor and prayer to secure. I remember how hard we labored to secure this property. Now additional property has come to us. We are glad of this addition, for we need every foot of this land. Our duty in regard to this matter is very clear to my mind, and I mean to work in harmony with the light given to me. We are talking of enlarging our facilities, of adding more buildings, but I would not urge that this work go forward unless a different spiritual atmosphere shall pervade the institution. There is a spirit of strife for position with some. This must be overcome. When the soul is truly converted, all questions of promotion will be decided in the light of eternal interests. It has been presented to me that, unless changes are wrought in the dispositions of many who are here, they will never enter the kingdom of heaven. With some, self is uppermost. Contention and emulation are being cherished. The Spirit of God cannot control, but the enemy comes in to suggest and advise. My brethren and sisters, you cannot afford to permit this condition to continue. You cannot afford to make self-service first. This will destroy our work. It must not be that we have taken all these large responsibilities upon us for naught. We must do our work intelligently and to the very best of our ability if we would bring glory to God. His Spirit must come in and abide. The Lord wants us to be Christ-like, to represent to the world the beauties of Christian character. This has not always been done in this place by all the workers. When the character of Christ is reflected in God's professed people, they will desire not the place of greatest honor,
but the place that God chooses for them. Learn of me, the great teacher said, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew 11, verse 29. Christ wants us to work out the dispositions that he will work in as we yield our lives to his fashioning. My brethren and sisters, let us stand where heaven can cooperate with us, where the grace of God and his Holy Spirit can rest upon us and work through us. I was going away today, but I felt that before departing I must lay before you the great need of the converting power of God if the workers in this institution are to obtain the experience that was in his purpose in the establishing of this institution. All this seeking for the highest place, all this determination to carry our individual ideas and desires should stop right now. It does not please the Master. God wants us to be converted from our ways to his way. As a people, we are being watched by the world, and we should conduct ourselves in such a way that men and women will be convinced that we have something that they have not. We need the help of all who are located here. If any have concluded that they cannot throw their energies into this work, there is the world before them, and they can take it. God bids his people order their lives by the living principles that moved Christ to sacrifice himself for the saving of the lost. The Son of God gave his life to redeem the youth. What shall we do for them? What shall we do for those older in years? My brethren, you need first to order your own lives by the plan of salvation. Then gather with Christ with all the powers of your being. Then the Lord will work through your efforts.
When I consider how hard we have worked in different places to establish health institutions, I feel it my duty to impress upon the workers connected with them that they have a great responsibility to act in a way that will rightly represent the principles that are the foundation of this message. They should be righteous in word and deed. Strife and contention, which is of the devil, should find no place in their experience. We may inherit the things prepared for God's people from the foundation of the world, if we will live in harmony with the righteous life of Christ. Let there be no contention, no strife. There is room enough in the world. There is opportunity for all to perfect a Christian character. Let us take hold of this work intelligently. Then, when any change takes place in the working of the cause here, it will be seen, in the course taken by the workers, that their dispositions are being molded by the Spirit of God, that the grace of Christ is sanctifying character. I do not want to weary you. I have spoken long enough. But, my brethren, I want you to understand how greatly I appreciate everything that is for the advantage of this place. I pray that from this institution, an army of workers may go forth to glorify the one who gave his life for us. Oh, that we might all show in our daily lives that we appreciate this gift. May God bless you, every one, is my prayer.